Hey, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you reside. Welcome to Down and Dirty with Idaho Beau and Vivacious Vic. We're having a really, really wonderful, really beautiful day here in Idaho, and it is our pleasure to come live on BBS Radio and just have some more fun talking about digging in the dirt, growing food, creating a sustainable lifestyle. And we got a special guest today. But at first, I want to tell you about a Facebook page that we've created. And it's titled Down and Dirty with Idaho Beau and Vivacious Vic. And we're posting a lot, all of the threads to our articles and links to all of our podcasts. For those of you that would like to access us that way, we also have an interview on the 21st solstice, 21st of June, on Whiplash with Sunshine at 2 o'clock Central Time, 1 o'clock Mountain Time, and 12 o'clock Pacific Time. That Beau, myself, and Matt Denning, our rock star permaculturist guy that we interviewed on our third show, all three of us are going to be interviewed with Sunshine on Whiplash. So we'd love to have you join us on that. And
Okay, I'll take it away. First of all, my little bit of house cleaning is to wish Vicky a happy belly button day, aka birthday. And she's a little sunshiny over there. Down in Boise, I'm up north. And we wanted to thank BBS immensely for giving us the platform to be able to share and disseminate the knowledge that we've gleaned throughout the years. And speaking of BBS, our very special guest today just happens to be Don Newsom, who is the founder and president of BBS. Are you with us, Don?
Well, thank you for allowing me on your broadcast. It's a beautiful Sunday, ladies, and happy birthday, Vic. Happy birthday.
Thank you. Thank you very much. It's been a wonderful one so far.
Beautiful. Well, birthdays are meant to be wonderful, I think.
Well, yeah. Tragic and wonderful at the same time. Especially when you get 69 years old. It's like,
Really? Good thing we own our bodies, right?
Right.
So, Don, we could go all over the moon with subject matter, interests. But Bo and I have been talking about it. And I was thinking myself personally, asking each one of us to do a little ideas on way beyond digging in the dirt, growing food, and providing food for our families and friends, to go a little deeper into what really does gardening mean, and growing and nurturing plants, nurturing plant life, building soil. Why would we do this time and time and time again? And so I thought each of us could go around each of us and just give a little synopsis of the deeper meaning that we find when we are out there exploring our natural surroundings of our home and beyond, whatever that would be. So do you want to go first, Don?
Well, I'll be glad to. Thank you. You know, Having a connection to the earth is truly important to me. To a lot of people, I think it's important. And it's a deep connection. And we all have a deep connection, of course, with the earth. We might not understand it or feel it, but it's there. And it's a very intimate relationship. You know, we're part of the ecosystem. We're part of Mother Earth. I think we're going to continue to be a part of Mother Earth on into our future lives. I believe we do reincarnate, and I believe we'll reincarnate right back here. And so I think there's a long, healthy, and deep connection we have to the earth, and to every living thing on it. A lot of people say we're one with all, and I take that to heart. And so, it's not just that the plants give us the air we breathe and vice versa. It goes more into that we truly have to be stewards of the earth and the planet and its denizens. We have to be not only a stewards, but good stewards. So, I'm always of that feeling we need to build our homes in ways that are eco-friendly. We need to pay attention to what we put on the soils and in the soils and for the plants and for the animals. So I'm big about big into a very healthy ecosystem, and I think that that is our one of our main jobs for being here. So when you talk about having a connection to it all, that's to me it's profound. So I really get into it, and it has changed my life. And I garden every day, and I couldn't see myself doing anything else. I love it.
When
Thank
did you
you.
start gardening?
Oh, when I was a young lad. When I was before I was 10 years old, I spent a lot of time in gardening. My dad and mother reared us that way, where we would always have a garden, and we would till the yard and plant the seeds one by one, and plant them in the rows and plant them along the fence lines. And so it was a big deal for us to, and not a huge garden, but something that brought us fresh herbs and tomatoes and potatoes and peas and lettuce and grapes and a few of the things that you find in the kitchen. So we've been doing it since we were young. I just got very passionate about it.
Very nice. Thank you for that. Thank you. Bo, do you want to chime in on?
Sure. Exactly what Don said, but to add on that a little bit, I think in the way I feel about it is I am connecting to the earth through the divine creation of making a garden or being a good steward or going out into the woods and foraging and being an intimate part of the ecosystem, not that it's separate from me, that, like Don said, we're all one. And just having the space to, pun intended, tend my inner garden. It gives me the opportunity to have space away from the mayhem that the world may present to go and have a space to go within. I know when I was down at your house, Vic, and being sitting in your backyard and just being able to have a space to relax and find that peaceful connection. Like I said earlier in this episode, we're not our bodies, and we are actually beings of light or spirit, and so are the plants and the animals and the birds and the bugs, and it's all interconnected. And really, we can't We can't live without all of the above. We can't sustain life without that biome. And like Don said, being super cognizant of what you're putting on and in your soil and what you're planting. And it, for me, it's a spiritual practice. I'll just put it in that nutshell. How about you, Vic?
Wonderful. Well, we're on the same page, absolutely. For me, gardening is my connection to source energy, for sure. And over the course of owning a landscape garden business for 25 years, and now growing food not only for myself and my family, but also I do CSA shares. And I find that really, really rewarding and spiritually fulfilling to help feed people. And also, a lot of the emphasis has been on to get healthy food, know your gardeners or know your farmers, know who's raising your meat, raising your food. And the farmers markets are just so powerful for that. But one of the things that I really thought about with this show today was I've come to this realization that nature never lies. And if you want to find the truth of living here on this planet, you've got to get out there and spend time in
What a
nature.
great point. Oh, love that. Thank you. Thank you. Beautifully
Will
said.
you say that again, Vicki, just for emphasis?
Well, that nature never lies. And what I've learned over the course of all this gardening time in my life and doing it for a business and people paying me to help them create some garden, any kind of garden, all kinds, is that what I paid attention to a lot was the cycles. I'm a year-round gardener, so there's plenty to do in the winter. But what I witness over and over and over again is how constant nature is. Like if you watch a moonrise or sunset or a moonset or sunrise, all that, and you just follow the course of that spirit, that cosmic body, it's so right. It never skips a beat. It's patient. It's steady. And we just take it for granted. Oh, the sun's, high. Oh, this and that. But when you really stop and pay attention and witness the patience and the steadiness of those two bodies of light that we are completely dependent on for everything that happens here, it is a miracle to me. And people watch sunsets and they fall in love watching sunsets, and it moves so steady and noticeable that I was thinking, let's more and more try to emulate that in our lives. The patience, just the patience that nature gives us. Everything's right on schedule. Everything's blooming right on schedule in our springs here in North America. Everything dies right on schedule when the light dims and the leaves turn. And here we are, it's to me, that's the greatest connection one could ever foster, is to witness the steadiness and the patience of nature. And it never lies to us ever. We can depend on it. And we are, we are dependent on it, but you can really depend on it to get to your own personal truth through just that, if you want to. Anybody else?
I want to follow up with that because it really hits home something that I've been dwelling on for a while, and that is the fact that, like you said, it's perfect, it's perfect, and it doesn't lie. And the thing that it does do is it works in spirals and circles. It doesn't work in squares. and geometry, yes, but it's always spirals and circles. There's no sharp corners. There's no boxes. And we live, like I was reading, we live in this in boxes, and everything we build is a box shape. Our homes are box shaped, the yards box shaped, and we're not, somehow we're missing it. We're missing the essence of what we're here to learn, living in that matrix of squares and angles. And so that hits home for me. It never lies. And I find that to be intrinsic, and it too, it has helped me expand my inner garden, let's say. And not, there's nothing else quite like it. There's nothing else quite like, believe it or not, hugging a tree when you're sick, going out with your bare
Bare
feet in the
feet.
sand or in the earth, and standing there and letting the sun shine down on your face. There's nothing quite like it. And even the sick in the old days had, sunrooms, and now they want you to gear up and get away from the sun, and the sun is bad and evil. And I just, I find that nature is not evil. It might seem cruel at times, but there's no evil intent. There's no a malicious ness or malice. It's really beautiful.
Yes, thank you for that.
So here's a thought. Nature never lies. Nature is from source, light, creator, God, whatever pronoun you want to put on the source. I'll call it source. And we are divine fractals of creator. And as a fractal, we are also creators. So how does that translate into nature never lies? So, is that a product of being programmed, like you said, Don, being put in boxes, living in boxes? I went down to Boise, like I've mentioned a couple times, a couple weeks ago, and even here where I live, up in Coeur d'Alene, they're building these massive square buildings that to me look like a prison. That is
And
not
I
how
think
we,
they are, yeah.
yeah, I agree. Are we going into 15-minute cities? I don't even know if we want to go there, but
I mean, they're trapping if you go farther in depth, they're really trapping the energies. You're not really getting the full effect of nature. You're almost shutting it out.
You're shutting it out. There's no green, there's no plants, there's no trees. It's a big box surrounded by sidewalks, concrete sidewalks and paved parking places.
Right. And we wonder why,
And
the natives used to live in teepees, which were round, and some of the older mounds
yes.
of the older, smaller, and even larger folk that we find in some of the ancient ruins, round.
Yes.
You
Yes.
know, it's only,
That's,
yeah,
yeah.
more recently we really got into the squares and the grids, and
Yeah. Yeah. That's so fun that you brought that up because I was talking to a friend a couple days ago about that very thing, how, yurts. Round yurts, the Mongolians lived in really, 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 really heavily winded places, and the teepees on the prairies, and the round indigenous, they all had something round, and they never blow over in a hurricane, in a storm, in a windstorm. And it reminds me of when I went to Burning Man a couple times. My kids had a teepee. And the wind howls down there. I mean, tents are flying all over if you don't have them. The teepee never missed a beat. It barely it the teepee itself it didn't even move. So round is really good. And like you were saying, the spirals and the round and the spherical nature of the transits in our astrology and astronomy. Yeah, something to think, just something to contemplate
And
for
then
sure.
Fibonacci, we can bring in Fibonacci when you're talking about the spiral. And then also going back to the buildings, we don't build them out of natural materials anymore. Some buildings might have a wood frame, but that's where it stops. You know, when we have things, alternative building materials like cob and straw bale and all other kinds of things that you can make around. House or building out of these kinds of materials. As that's really interesting.
So I thought it'd be kind of nice to ask a question. Because a lot of people may not have the ability or aren't gardeners yet or stewards of the earth yet. You know, they're just kind of walking around doing their thing day in and day out. So what would you, I'm directing this to you first, Don, to someone brand new who's maybe witnessed you or listened to you. What would you tell someone that just wants to get started and doesn't know how or where? What would you recommend?
Wow, that's a good question. You know, if they just wanted to get started, I would probably say to plant things that are easy to grow. You know, don't start planting complex plants and things. Just grow things that are easy to grow in your own zone. And you'll find out how rewarding it is. It's like planting an apple tree, or a peach tree, or a plum tree, and then seeing that thing from a seed grow into a yearling, and then on into a fruit-bearing plant, and then tasting that, and telling the person, I mean, the one thing that I like to do, and it's nutty. But I'll touch my leaves. I'll brush by my plants and I will touch their leaves and I will pray or I will give them mental love. And I'll then I'll, you know, I hate to leave other plants out, so I'll go to those leaves and I'm lying on. And I do that.
I
And,
say I sing to my plants.
sure, absolutely, because I truly believe in my heart that they feel it, they understand it, and they love it.
They're like we were saying, we're all one. They're just another form of a being. They're not a human being, but they are beings. They have light in them as well.
That's very true. But they just start easy, do things that aren't going to let's say become so difficult that they from then on have a bad experience with growing things. I think the trick is to start easy, and now here's the thing that I do. Many don't, but I do. I never plant something that won't grow a fruit. If it won't grow a fruit, I won't plant it. Now, my wife likes roses and tulips and various things, and I actually do go out of my way to do that for her, but I won't do that for me. I find and why do I never grow something that won't bear fruit? I don't know. I could give you my reasons. They might sound a little callous. There's even some literature and out there that talks about it, and even Bible verses that talk about it. But me, I won't spend my time growing something without a fruit because I'm kind of like you. It pleases me to be able to feed others, and I'm always thinking that, if I'm growing something and somebody needs it, I can give it to them. It's there. So all my neighbors, I'm very apt to go to them and say, whatever's in my yard and you want it, you come here, no questions asked. Come into the yard, you pick what you want, you take what you want. If you have friends and family or people visiting, come on by, pick what you want, because To me, you know, food should not be something that's hard to come by. And you know,
True.
we the
Yeah.
state tries to make it very hard to come by. They don't plant fruit trees along the highways and the byways, let's say, and they're constantly trying to destroy, you know, farmers' lives. And we
Yeah.
could make and feeding the whole planet is a very simple thing.
It's
You know,
simple. We
people
can
say,
all
"Oh,
be
that's so
part of
difficult."
it.
Nah, that's the simplest thing in the world. But they
Cool.
just tell you it's
Cool.
difficult, and then they make it difficult, and then you're dependent on the big agriculture, which is poisoning you to death. So,
Yeah.
yeah, food should be
So,
easy to come
yeah.
by, and I love to have ample.
Good. So, Bo, how would you answer that question?
I think starting simple. I mean, we've answered that question in one of
Yeah.
our previous shows, and we answered that question when we were on Teresa's All Learning Reimagined
Yep.
show.
Yeah.
Starting simple, and things like you've said, Vic, in the past, things that you like to eat, because if
Yeah.
you like to eat them, you're going to put that nurturing and that love into them. Start simple, start small, and here's another pun, then grow your garden larger and larger.
Yeah.
And you know, maybe not everybody really does like to garden,
No, they
but you
don't.
know, there you have neighbors, you can always barter. And going back to what Don said, I do plant flowers because I love the beauty of the flowers, but I also grow flowers that attract pollinators.
Right.
So, and a lot of flowers are edible
Yes.
and herbs. And, you know, I've mentioned this a number of times. I'm in an apartment. I have an overabundance of pots on my front area. So, every time I go to the garden store, I just took my sister the other day. I'm not buying anything. And I came home with some marigolds because again, that's for companion planting. It's a flower.
Yeah.
They're pretty, but they also deter the pests. So,
Yeah.
and how about you, Vic? How,
Well,
what's your answer?
I heard an interesting thing a couple days ago that I've really been contemplating about, because I think there's a lot of loneliness in the world, and people have sequestered themselves, a lot of them, by their own design, with too much screen time, too much, all the media and social media and whatnot. But I also think that there's a lot of people who are lonely, just don't know what to do to, maybe elderly, maybe a little disabled. There's so many different things. But this woman was saying, I think it was, it doesn't matter, I can't remember her name right now, that plants can become our community. And I loved that
Ooh.
statement. And I've been contemplating that. And for sure, I mean, I talk to my plants. Don touches them and communes with them. You commune with them. And that's a big part of what growing any kind of plant is building your own community around you. And I thought that was the most profound statement, because it's really simple, it's really true, but who really thinks about it that way? And
And here's another plus, Vicky. Your plants don't talk back to you.
well, that's really nice, huh? The thing that I think is really important to remember, and I remind myself of this every time I plant a seed, and my entire garden is started from seed, is never underestimate the power of a seed. And I look at these acorns in the back, and I look at the tree it's a volunteer acorn in my back, way back. And I look at that tree with all those acorns, and I constantly remind myself of the power of one seed. And so that's another place that you can put some emphasis on this connection holding a little seed in your hand and then planting it and watching it grow is a great joy. And it might be really, really boring to a lot of people, but everyone that goes to the grocery store depends on that one seed growing into something edible. So I just love that idea.
I totally agree.
So it's we're past the half hour mark. Do we want to start to begin to open this up to any Q&A, or is there some other grist for the mill that we could start introducing right now?
I'd like to do a shout out to Molly from the Happy New Now show. She's the one that told me, "Hey, did you know Don's an avid canner? You might want to interview him on your show." So I just wanted to say thanks, Molly. This
Nice,
is
nice.
excellent.
Yes.
Excellent.
I love to can. I love to pickle. I love to pickle. I love to create smoothies from my own fruits. I like to dry them. I've got several dehydrators and, all sorts of things for canning
Nice.
and pickling. Nothing beats fresh. I mean, people might not realize that. They've been going to the grocery store forever and a day, but when they actually try it, or grow it and then, put the love into it and taste it. There's something quite remarkable about that. And it's unforgettable, especially, if they start out small and begin to appreciate it and, build into a variety. I mean, I have a lot of joy because my stress can be, and I need relief. And my garden is that relief, and it fully takes care of me. It truly does. Like, I take care of it. It takes care of me.
That's that commune.
It's your sanctuary that feeds your body, but also your inner.
It feeds the soul. And even people that think they can't grow because they don't have a yard. I don't have a yard. I have I have this home with a front yard which takes really about a minute and a half to mow it. That's it. That's the whole yard. And then I have maybe a foot around the sides with earth up against a fence. So I went and planted 50 different fruiting varieties of plants around the whole place in a subdivision with an HOA, folks. So, and I drive
Brave man.
around, right? I drive around and I don't see anybody growing fruits in their yards. I don't see the orange tree, the apple tree, the peach, and I don't see any of that. And I can drive and drive and drive and drive. And I keep thinking to myself, why wouldn't they plant around their fence? They could plant, I mean, they could plant one every 5, 6 feet around their fence, or maybe, depending on the plant, might have to be a little farther, 10 feet, 12 feet. But they plant all the way around, and they could probably get 30, 40 different fruiting plants, and they never have to go to the supermarket again. And it could be their little oasis right there in a subdivision. But, I never see that. But I did that. I'll have to take some video of it and show it one day.
That'd be great. That
Yeah.
would be fun.
But I
That
think
would be
that
fun to see.
could be a trend. I don't know about, how difficult some HOAs are, but I'd love to make that a trend where subdivisions just start growing trees.
Oh,
So the flip side to that, Don, my daughter lives in a suburb of Phoenix, and all around the Phoenix area, there are all the different varieties of citrus fruit that you can think of. And I would take long walks through the neighborhoods and on the canal, and the trees are dripping over the sides of the of the wall into the canal area. So I would just be picking all this free fruit, and you walk through the neighborhoods, and they just let the fruit go to the ground. I don't understand that. I don't. Vicky and I used to go all over Boise and knock on people's doors. They would have all these beautiful grapevines. Are you going to use those grapes? And nine times out of 10, they'd say no. So we would make copious amounts of grape juice.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I agree with you though. Free food. Just plant all the city parkways with fruit trees, and anybody could have food when and there would be no hunger in this world.
That'd be wonderful.
You know, we do have a caller. Corinne actually called in.
Oh,
You know,
good.
Corinne and Donnie,
Oh,
wonderful,
yeah.
wonderful people. And Corinne called
Nice.
in.
Nice.
So
Hi,
I'll.
Corinne.
Oh, honored to you guys and gratitude, all of you. Beautiful Vicky and Bo and Don. Oh my goodness. I love you guys and give you so much gratitude for bringing this subject to the table, no pun intended. But because I mean you spoke of so much. I didn't even write it down. And normally Bo knows that in order for me to comment, I mean, I need to write things down to recollect, but it really deeply touched my heart. The soul aspect of feeding the soul, how and the spirit, the energetics from the energy to the physicality in our, our journey, right? Of tasting that food that you guys grow with that love. Don, Vicky, you have that beautiful question. And Don, you definitely personified on that with touching. And Vicky is present and communes. And Bo, you sing and absolutely. And hugging a tree, that comment of, did you hug a tree today? It is so true. And Bo and I just touched on that when she both spoke quickly at the subject that y'all were bringing up. But even though I don't, guys, I don't. Donnie does. He is a beautiful gardener like his mother. But I love cooking in the kitchen with that garden. So what I found is just what you said, Don, and I know Bo and you, Vicky, Donnie, from the grocery store. Like if we can go to the farmers market, which we do early Saturday morning, and get the locals who would literally tell us, I'm not trying to get political or anything. They don't jab. They do a natural gardening where they have the bees and the whole, if you will, a concept of a terrarium where it all, you guys have more of the terminology, but that beauty, that love, we can tell from Whipstone Farms or, Skull Valley Farm or, but these guys are just such beautiful beings. And then to take it to from there to wash it and then to create my canvases, the kitchen. So then to create with that, it's just what a difference in energy and taste and love. So just want to share that. And I yield. Honey.
Yeah, guys, great show. Yeah,
Thanks.
I love it, all the points you're bringing up. But yeah, I was just out watering and fertilizing the plants. So when I heard Corinne, I gotta get part of this. But
Nice.
it's so wonderful. You know, it's a place you don't take your cell phone. It's the spirituality of gardening and nursing plants, and it recharges your batteries, no doubt. Does mine, and I agree. You know, and the energy is different. Exactly, Corinne, that you raise this from seed, this plant, this vegetable, you eat it, the fruit. It's got an energy that just not only tastes better, but it fulfills you better. Yeah,
And
and
you'll have a spiritual
like Vicky,
experience
we
with
noticed
it.
that down in Ecuador where everything was natural.
I'm sorry, Don. You were saying, sorry.
And I was saying, and you truly will. And I say this, and I mean it. If people do get out, and start a little garden or a fruit tree, and they stick that love and that effort and that emotion, the real emotion, the feeling into it, they'll get into a spiritual experience. I've had many. If I talked about them, you'd all think I'm nuts. But I mean, literally many where you touch a plant and you feel like you've just been shocked from a bolt of lightning, and it knocks you back 2 feet, you know, and you're on cement and it's in a planter and you grab it and you feel like you literally fall back 2 feet. Things like that, because you're giving it so much love and time and energy, and that you'll get a spiritual experience. I truly believe that.
You're so right.
They have a lot of energy, you know, in the book, in The Incredible Life of Plants, you know, it goes through that and how they can pick up frequencies and sense you and all that. But that's another story. But you know, when we lived in South America, where we only ate organic foods for years, we lost so much weight and became so healthy. It was incredible. There's a definite energy, you know, and that just your body just reacts to, and it just loves it. You know, what's the taste better too?
And the one last thing, guys, I love Vicky, which she brought up about never underestimate the power of a seed, and it's so reflection of our life. That's it. Yeah. So, you know, just to see the propagation of that pine cone and that pine cone tree, that's incredible. I love you guys. We both do. Oh, thank you for this incredible uplifting show.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
You're wonderful. We also have actually Sunshine called in. And Corinne, Donnie, love to you both. Thank you.
Love to you. Bye, guys.
Bye, guys. Love you.
Hi, Sunshine.
Hello, everyone.
Hello, Sunshine.
I love your show, Dawn. It's so good to hear you on this side of the show. It's awesome.
Oh, thank you. It's a pleasure. It truly is. Hey, this is something I like talking about. It truly is. Thank you.
You're welcome. I actually live in a subdivision with an HOA as well, and we have a couple of common areas that I have been strategizing over. We have ducks and a pond and turtles and that kind of thing, and I think we need some fruit trees around. Some berry bushes would be lovely. But I am also a gardener. I am sunburned, sun exhausted, and very content right now. I've spent a lot of time outside, and I've prepped my beds and fed them very well. Didn't get everything planted, didn't get everything done, but there's something, like you guys said, about just getting your hands in the soil and kind of just regrounding. And just, I also talk to my plants and sing to them and touch them, so I do all three. And so it's fun. And I was looking at one of my berry bushes today, and it's a newer one. And I said, and I was hot, and I was tired, and I was needing a break, and I looked over, and I said, do you have another berry? And I went over there and looked and looked and looked, and then finally there was this big, fat, juicy blueberry, and I'm like, yay! The birds didn't get, so I just wanted to call and say thank you both for having such a beautiful gardening show, and what a treat it is to have Dawn on. I'd love to hear more about your canning and your you're drying your fruit, your dehydrator and stuff. I have a dehydrator. I haven't done a lot of that, but I would love to get more knowledge about that as well. So I'd love to hear more about that if you're inclined to talk about it.
Wow. Well, thank you. You know, dehydrating is about as easy as it gets.
It's easy.
Super easy, yeah.
Slice it up, throw it in the trays, and leave it for, you know, anywhere from 5 hours to sometimes a day and a half, depending on how much you're wanting to dry it out and what kind of airflow you got or power you got on the unit. But, yeah, it's as easy as pie. Sometimes I'll soak things with sugar cane, with a little bit of sugar water, and you know, I'll dehydrate it that way, or I'll make jellies, you know, with a little bit of you know, pectin and a few other things. You mix in sort of jellies, and then you firm them up and or dehydrate them.
Nice.
You like know, a fruit roll-up kind of thing?
Pardon me? Well, yeah.
Kind of like a fruit
exactly
chewy or a fruit
like
roll-up.
You can make those, yeah.
Mango fruit roll-ups, papaya fruit roll-ups.
What about candied ginger? Do you make that?
You know, I've never made candied ginger because I only grow the shampoo ginger.
I grow
black turmeric and white turmeric and yellow turmeric, curcumin, but I don't grow edible ginger, only the sour ginger or the shampoo ginger for the flower and for the,
That makes sense.
I'm pretty sure, Sunshine, that when you make candied ginger, I don't think it's dehydrated. I think it's more on a low simmer with pot and water, although I could be wrong. I know that's how you make candied orange rind and lemon rind and things like that.
Yeah,
right.
Cook it.
I know that.
Yeah.
I just never checked into candied ginger, so I'll check into it and report back.
Good.
Okay, sounds good. Maybe you can come up with it. When we're on your show, you can talk about it.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
That'll be awesome. I'm going to let you guys go ahead and do the show.
Herbs are great
job.
To dehydrate, too, and you can rehydrate everything so quickly use it whenever
it
you
is.
Need it. So,
it's fun.
And all those tomatoes, too, and then you can make sun-dried tomatoes.
Right.
I know, right?
I make a lot of those.
My favorite fruit on the planet.
Though I like my green tomatoes fried.
it's hard for me
to wait until they're red, unless they're, you know, littler cherry ones I grow. But usually the bigger ones, I'll just, you know, I love fried green tomatoes. I know.
Fun.
So
you're in the South now, after all, right?
Right.
Right? Yeah, we won't talk about how many okra plants I planted today, so we'll just leave that one alone and just keep moving on.
Yeah, those can be very invasive, so watch it.
Oh, darn.
Oh, no, not okra. I'm sorry. That's tomatillos.
Yeah, I was going to say, okra's fine. Yeah, okra will be wonderful.
Peppers are great, too. I love to grow peppers.
I grow peppers as well.
Oh, yeah. Especially with a little bit of heat, 40,000 Schofield or 15,000. Right in there in the jalapeno, the Fresno range, you know, the Cayenne range. Oh, just delicious.
Nice.
Yeah.
I grew some Tabasco peppers last summer, and they took off. And I've got 2 quart jars full of dried peppers.
Oh, save the seeds.
Nice.
But, you know, save the seeds.
I know.
And then when the plants are, you know, before it gets too cold, you know, before it starts to freeze, chop them, you know, take off the tops where the leaves are and stick it inside. You don't even have to water it much. Then you can bring them out for another year. They'll grow again. And people say you can't do it for a third year. You can.
It's
not going to grow as well. You're not going to get as many, but you can do it. And I love peppers. I grow, I don't know, usually 6-7 varieties every year.
Nice. How fun.
Sounds
peppers too.
Oh, Vicky's boyfriend does the salsa garden. I got gifted some, and I came home with 6 jars of canned salsa. Thank you, Ken.
Yeah, he's an incredible salsa gardener. Yeah.
Awesome.
Well,
all right,
it looks
guys, I'm sure you guys have more to talk about. I'm going to let you go. Enjoy the show.
Thank you.
Oh, thank
you. Sweet
bye.
Thank you, Sunshine.
Love you too. Bye-bye.
Love you.
We have a few more minutes, and the phone number to call if you have any inspiration to call, ask questions, or add to our conversation, 888-627-6008. And we'd love to hear from you.
And just so you know, I do have a system. I've had it for about 2 months now where people can call in via Telegram or WhatsApp.
Ah. Oh.
I just never made that available.
Okay.
And the reason is because I'm using it now for those hosts that used to use Skype.
Yes.
Skype's gone. So now I ended up using those lines to cut. And so I go, if I start giving it out, then some of those shows I won't be able to. So I have to probably get another cell phone and hook up other numbers in order to make it available for callers. It is something I want to do because there's a lot of people overseas, you know, and it's free to call on Telegram and WhatsApp. So,
Nice.
You know, Don, before we got started, I was sitting and doing a little going within, and a word came to me that, or two words that totally describe you for me anyway. And you're a Renaissance man. You've done so much. And you're a humanitarian, and you know the gardening is just like extra added spicy.
Yes.
So I am so honored that we've been able to spend this time with you. I know we've got a few more minutes left, but I just wanted to give you the gratitude from my heart for spending the time with us. And not only here on the air, we call in with all kinds of crazy questions, and you're always so loving and gentle and patient, and I just really appreciate you a lot.
Gosh, you're so kind. Thank you. I mean that. I really do. Thank you, Bo and Vic. You know, you ladies have been just absolutely dears. And thank you. Gosh, you're too kind. You really are. You're too kind. Thank you.
Gosh.
Thank you.
Well, I don't have a whole lot more to say today other than just for everyone, just to not be afraid of anything and just let the inspiration guide you with gardening and plants and sustainable kinds of practices. And, you know, that's Bo and I's whole purpose with doing this podcast is to just shine light on old subjects that maybe you forgot this or this technique, or, and then bring new ones in that, I mean, we're not necessarily on the cutting edge of a whole lot of brand new techniques. The old tried and true ones always have worked for me, so I don't bring in a whole lot of new ones.
They work for grandma, they work for her grandma.
So, and the plants know what to do. The seeds and the plants, they know what to do. And the more we nurture them and the more we fertilize and talk to them and help them along, the more they produce. So, you know, all you got to do is get out there and experiment for yourself and have that experience. And don't forget to bring the kids. They need to know this. We need to pass on this knowledge.
We need to be teaching it in school. And if
we're
not getting it at school, we need to be providing that at home. This is something they can't lose. We never want to lose that part of ourselves. Not ever.
I think the powers that be would like for us to lose that part and be completely dependent on these institutions that are crumbling and shrinking by the day. We cannot depend on it.
No.
So it's up to us. And that's part of our inspiration is to help grow little small neighborhood communities or little community garden or do what we're doing today. Just spread the love by talking about it.
That's right. Grow something. You know, you're going to grow. And if you're in a small place, no land, grow something. Find a crack in your pavement and allow something to grow in it, even if it makes it look a little weird. But grow something. I mean, I really believe that when you share your growth with a plant, you know, it's kind of, there's a symbiosis there. And it will fulfill you. It'll change your life. It'll add to your life. And it'll likely add to the lives of others, even when you pass away. So, hey, it's worth it in every respect. I believe that. In every respect, getting out and growing something and being a part of that is worth it.
Thank you for that.
Thank you so much, Don.
Absolutely. Thank you for coming on our show.
Oh, I loved every moment of it, ladies. You both are such beautiful ladies and so wonderful to me. Too kind, I might add. You really are. Too kind to me, but I appreciate it very much. I appreciate both of you. Thank you for this invite. Thank you.
Thank you so much for accepting. Love you bigly. Love you, Vic.
Love you both.
Thank you, everybody out in the airwaves, for listening and contributing and having interest. We appreciate you a lot.
Go get down and dirty.
Go get down and dirty. And if you want more shows, please think about maybe subscribing to our channel. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Don. You could cue the music, I think.